Blog.
Hi everyone, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, the home of Insights and Published Magazine and Broadcast, where experts and those on the rise come together to create instant impact. And I am so excited because today we have with us Andrea J. Lee. Andrea is an entrepreneurial futurist with her finger on the pulse of the entrepreneurial spirit and how it can show up to change the world. Throughout her life, Andrea has done one thing, and that's help those she loves make money. Not once, but twice, she has helped reinvent the whole entire coaching industry and knows just one thing for sure. The entrepreneurial spirit is everywhere, looking for a place to make a difference. She is the trusted source of coaching pioneer Thomas Leonard's intellectual property, the architect behind Pink Spoon Marketing Craze, and her company was named by Seth Godin and Fast Company Magazine as one of the most extraordinary bull market companies, helping their clients stand out and prosper. Andrea invites you over to http://wealthythoughtleader.com to enjoy a free guide on 5 steps to income through innovation, a primer on your thought leadership. But first, I have the pleasure of introducing and for us all to be spending time with Andrea. Andrea, welcome.
What a delight it is to be here with you. Thank you so much, Vicki.
Well, I want to start out because you have the most innovative approach to the way you brand yourself and the way you encourage others to express themselves in their branding and their business. And so let's start by asking a question I've been wondering. What is InfoCrap and why is it important?
InfoCrap is one of my favorite topics because I think it's important for us as planetary citizens to wage war against it. We're very familiar with junk mail in real life. You know, when you go to your mailbox or open your doorstep and you see all this junk on your doorstep. The equivalent, which I call InfoCrap, is junk mail in the digital world. And we all know what that is. It's the clutter of emails that we didn't ask for. It's the information products that are not original and just repeats, and the scads and scads of things that basically add no value and yet leave this information trail of litter in our lives. But just because it's digital doesn't mean that it doesn't have an effect on us, right? Vicki, like junk mail we can be mad at and ask them to send it back or stop it or recycle it. Digital junk mail or info crap is more insidious. It kind of is just there without us realizing it, seeping away our energy, making us feel bad because we haven't read that ebook that we bought 6 months ago, or we have 17 MP3s that for some reason we just can never get around to, giving us guilt, feeling sort of heavy, you know, stuck.
Yes.
So InfoCrap is really important to become aware of, especially as experts and authors and coaches. Because we are at our best when our ideas can breathe. When you have a positive feeling about how perfect, you know, how perfectly decluttered your desk is. When we become aware of info crap, I believe, Vicki, that we can think more clearly and our most powerful ideas and actions arise from that.
That makes so much sense. What would you recommend is the best way to try to avoid the info crap?
There's a three-step prescription. So if you allow me a moment of being like the doctor of info crap and help you, you know, get over it, it's like a three-step prescription. Prescription number one is take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. but after you've done that, number two is begin to declutter and set up systems to organize your information so that you can start to gain the spaciousness just like as if you decluttered your home. So what that means is scrutinizing your subscriptions if you have subscriptions, for example, to e-zines or newsletters that you get three of because for no other reason than for some reason this particular person sends you three copies of it, unsubscribe to two of them. Right? Right there, you've reduced your info crap quotient by a whole ton. And be persistent about that. The effect that this has is that the subscriptions you do still get, you will wind up valuing much better, and you're more likely to read, absorb, take action on, and enjoy.
Oh, such great advice. That's so important now with our cluttered world, right?
Exactly, exactly. So that's a little bit of a way to get ahead on feeling less info crappy.
Great, great information. Well, I know that you are a big proponent of bold, outrageous, and provocative statements from the standpoint of your brand and the way you just express yourself and put yourself out there in the world. What are a few ways you could share with us that people can get started with their own thought leadership or bold, outrageous, provocative statements so that they can better stand out in our tremendously competitive marketplace?
I love that question, Vicki. You know, if we're going to take a stand against info crap, we should take a stand for messages that are rich with meaning, information that is deeper, or more original and fresh. Because we can't just be against something, we need to take a stand for something. And each of us, in our own way, with our expertise, is here for a purpose. And I believe that purpose is to go for that deeper, bolder, and sometimes a little bit outrageous or provocative message. And so when I work with people on this, Vicki, it sounds a little bit like, well, what makes you upset about the status quo within your market? You know, if you're an author on the topic of relationships, what's something that bugs you about the state of relationships today? What's something that bugs you about what other authors on relationships talk about? What's something that bugs you that you felt like you couldn't say for years and years about relationships, or whatever your topic is? That's a very simple way to get started. And then from there, what you want to say, offer is an alternative. If it bugs you that the state of the nation on how to invest in the stock market is X, well, what's your alternative? What's your Y? What's your Z? What's your Z? And that's the beginning of what I call a BOP statement, B-O-P, bold, outrageous, provocative. But it, just stopping there isn't enough. What I would add is, once you've landed on the thing that's bugging you, try to go to the extreme. You know, if I were to say, it really pisses me off, Vicki, that there's so much info crap out there and people have all these boring messages and junk mail, all that stuff. Well, what's the most extreme stance I could take on that? Maybe I could write a manifesto that said, you know, about abolishing info crap for good. Maybe I could shout from the rooftops that, you know, and I'm going to unsubscribe from everybody who has anything, you know, to nearing info crap. These are ways of going to the extreme to make the stance that I'm here to say bolder and a little bit outrageous. Why? Because then we can get the attention of the perfect people who are to become our clients.
Hmm. That is so wonderful. And I love the way you delve into that which we may find not real palatable and turn that around and make that our strength and the strength of our statement. It's really quite brilliant.
Well, I think it's contrast, right? Just, you know, mm-hmm. in the contrast of it, it becomes clearer. So many of us are concerned about being politically correct or polite, and there's all good, that's good. But it's only by comparing the night to the day that the night is the night, right? Does that make sense? That black is only black in relationship to white. So figuring out what we're against is a great way of beginning to see what we're for.
That's fantastic. So rather than living or staying with our creativity in that gray area, taking it to the extreme on both sides will actually give us our unique statement of who we are and what we have to offer the world.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful. What advice could you give about, once you discover what that message is, actually getting it heard?
You know, I think as a continuation of what we've just said about being bold, is not to be shy about it. I'm not saying that you should go to the extreme and then be like this rabid, bra-burning zealot. You know what I mean? That's not the purpose of it, although it's fun to experiment with that and see where you get and then maybe moderate a little bit. But the most important advice about getting your message heard is to align with what you believe and then speak it with conviction. From the inside out. And what I mean by that is, so often when we're trying to get the word out about our coaching business or our new book or whatever, we're doing things from the outside in. We're looking for marketing strategies that work. You know, we're asking other people how they ran their sales campaign or their book launch campaign. But it's not aligned with us, so it winds up being a whole bunch of noise. What the most important thing that you could do in this moment of listening to this interview would be to say, what aligns from within, right? So could it be that you're a bit more shy of an author? I'm an author as well, and, you know, very introverted. You know, I could project my personality, but I like to be by myself. So networking is not going to be the right choice. It's not going to be the right marketing strategy for me. Instead, I might use things like writing articles for magazines or blogging would be a much better choice than forcing my personality to go out and network. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So aligning internally and choosing your marketing from the inside out is the most important thing. And I find people get stuck so often, Vicki, trying to do things that are just not a fit for their personality.
And there's so many things out there to do. Sometimes it's easy to feel that you should be doing it all, when actually it would be so much more productive to do that which aligns with you and your spirit.
You're so right. You're so right. Yeah.
Now, when we've talked before, I've heard you discuss the peanut butter cup method of innovation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, the peanut butter cup. Yes, I would love to talk about the peanut butter cup. The peanut butter cup is another way to access your thought leadership. And it's really kind of a weird thing to say, because not everybody, you know, what are you going to talk about next? You know, penguins' bellies? I don't know, right? It's kind of my fresh way of grabbing your attention, because I feel so strongly about this. Part of the reason lots of things can feel like info crap, or let's say you have a new message in your business and you're trying to get it out, but people aren't paying attention, is because it's not fresh enough. It's just, it sounds very similar to other people's. And if you're honest with if you're very candid with yourself in this moment, you could probably raise your hand and say, yeah, you know what, my thing doesn't sound very different from most other people's. That is a problem. That's a big problem, and one of the reasons I feel like I've been put on the earth to help look at that problem. And one of the ways you can do that is to I'll tell the story of the peanut butter cup. In the beginning, there was peanut butter, okay? There were a whole bunch of other things, too. There was light. There was all sorts of things. But there was peanut butter in this story. And then on the other hand, there was chocolate. And so just pause for a moment and think about this world in which these two things were separate. All the chocolate companies competed for attention. They were all the same kind of chocolate. There wasn't a lot of innovation. Their chocolate messages were all the same, and the same on the peanut butter side. Okay, it was very difficult to be innovative within the peanut butter market. Sure, you have creamy, you have, you know, crunchy and all those things, but at heart, it's still just peanut butter. There's nothing really exciting or noticeable is happening within that market until the day that that woman ran into that man and that he got some peanut butter on her chocolate and she got some chocolate on his peanut butter. And shazam, in this magical moment of a fresh combination called a peanut butter cup. All right, I can hear our listeners start to salivate a little bit, you know, or maybe that's just me. Peanut salad is one of my favorite guilty pleasures. This extraordinary new combination that in that moment when there wasn't that combination, it was like it was a miracle. It was a marketing miracle, okay? Because all of a sudden, the company that dared to innovate and make this fresh combination leapt thousands of miles ahead of their competition. Plain old peanut butter and plain old chocolate continued to compete with each other within their markets, but peanut butter cup was now in a category of its own. So how does this relate then to our businesses, right, Vicki? Like, how does this, you know, come down to like a coaching business or, you know, a consulting business or a training business? Look at what you're currently offering. So maybe it's coaching packages. Maybe you have some products or DVDs, or maybe you do workshops. Maybe you have your book. But how could you combine it with new technology? How could you combine it with other topics of interest? How could you combine what you've already got, your peanut butter, and find a chocolate that mixes with you that all of a sudden this shazam happens for you and your market? Now, you will know if you've succeeded in doing this when the market responds, okay? Sometimes you can get, you know, gross combinations. You know, I don't know if like pomegranate and green tea would be a good combination or a weird combination. The market will respond. So you want to be trying this and testing the waters to see what fresh combination is the one that your market most wants. But yeah, that's the peanut butter cup story in a not so tiny nutshell, but hopefully useful.
It's just such a wonderful definition of innovation. I just love it, Andrea. So, I've also heard you mention the grit in your oyster that you recommend business owners really pay attention to. Share a little bit about that with us as well.
Sure. We touched on it briefly a moment ago, and that is, you know, the grit in the oyster is that thing that irritates the oyster that eventually leads to a pearl being formed. So I like to put a point of emphasis on this for business owners who are looking to create value in innovative ways. So look at what's irritating you and then ask yourself how that could become something of value that you could offer. I can give you an example within my own business. It's irritated me for a long time, the fact that when we launch things online, there are these big, huge launches that come with a ton of email, and there's this, like, just this very hypey, aggressive thing that happens around a launch. That was a serious piece of grit in my oyster. But as a result of that, I've taken a lot of time to study it and come up with an alternative, and now I have a pearl in my oyster as a result that I call the unlaunch method. It's how to do launches in a heart-centered way, the opposite of these icky, hypey launches. So you can see that this concept, again, this metaphor, hopefully can help you see whatever it is that's bugging you within your market, whatever it is that you're annoyed at, can turn into something very valuable that your market will respond to.
Mm. That's so vital and so important, as you say, especially now when we're all getting inundated by so much and everyone seems to be doing it the same way. Again, it's tremendous innovation that you're sharing with us. So what's the meaning of the concept of the golden goose?
I love the golden goose is one of my favorite things. I'm so glad you asked about it. You know the story of the golden goose? By now you're getting that, you know, as a coach over this last 10 or so years, I'm very fond of stories and metaphors to bring home a concept. So my challenge to our listeners today is to ask themselves, how well do you think you're taking care of yourself as the business owner? You know, when was the last time you treated yourself like royalty within your business? Or is your habit more to crack the whip and berate yourself because you're list, you know, you're behind? Feel that, you know, ick feeling of, you know, I'm never going to be able to get ahead and I better stay up late and, you know, oh yeah, I should eat something or, you know, really taking poor care of themselves. And so raise your virtual hand if you admit, you're willing to admit in this moment that it's like, you know, it's true what Andrea is saying. I don't take very good care of myself. Now, what does this have to do with the golden goose? Vicky, I cannot tell you how, and this is a thing born of frustration for me as a coach. So many coaching sessions that have been around, look, you cannot work yourself to death to make $1 million. It just doesn't work that way. Okay, because lots of people come to me with these big financial goals, and they're just willing to throw their lives and their health and their sanity against the wall to make this happen. I had to come up with a better way of talking about self-care. And the way it goes is this. If you think for a moment of yourself as a golden goose, so take a breath and imagine yourself as a golden goose. You are a goose that every day, without fail, you hatch a golden egg. And isn't it a miracle, this golden egg? Every time, you know, the goose wakes up and is on purpose and does their life's work, they produce a golden egg. Except that you haven't been treating your golden goose very well. In the fairy tale around the golden goose, the family actually kills the golden goose because they, you know, they figure that they could probably get more gold out of the golden goose because they could open it up or something like that, something terrible like that. Apologies to the vegetarians in the in the audience. But so we abuse ourselves often without even knowing that we're actually not treating well the very source of all of our wealth. Okay, if we had a real golden goose, you know, this is a fairy tale creature, but imagine for a moment you had a real golden goose that laid, you know, thousands of dollars every day. Would you take really darn good care of that goose?
Oh, definitely.
Right? Feed it like the best grains. Give it a velvet cushion. You know, give it, you know, stroke its feathers. Play Beethoven for it.
So, absolutely.
How can we be treating ourselves better? Because we are truly the golden goose in our own business.
What a beautiful metaphor. And so many times we can overlook ourselves so easily with the busy lives that we create, particularly as entrepreneurs and coaches. So if you were to share a recent trend that's allowed business owners, such as coaches and authors and speakers, to really expand their reach and add significant income, what would that be?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked this, Vicky, because, you know, I'm, you know, telling all these stories and these metaphors, you know, by now you're either thinking I'm super kooky or you're, like, enthralled by all these funny stories. One of the other things that we do a lot of at Wealthy Thought Leader is to look at technology trends and ask what are the new ways to make money effectively and in a leveraged way. And one of the most exciting things that's come across my desk in the last probably 10 years has just really started to blossom right now. So those of you who are interested in technology and how it can help you make more money, expand your reach, and reach the perfect clients, you want to really listen up to this. What we have discovered is that not only is the use of video super important on the internet, that's a given, but that live streaming video is an unprecedented way in which any heart-centered entrepreneur can expand their market immediately in a very intimate way that helps the perfect clients come to you and sometimes pay significant money. So what do I mean by live streaming video? Well, if you imagine the Olympics when they're on, you know, and the fact that you can turn on your TV or even go to the Olympics website on your computer and watch whatever event is happening in the Olympics anywhere in the world live, that is an example of live streaming video. It's happening you know, you're watching it as it's happening wherever it is in the world. Well, recently, in the last 2 or 3 years, my business, Wealthy Thought Leader, has tested this technology that now allows us to do all of our workshops and teachings to over 20 countries in the world from one location. So I have clients who are in China or Poland or Kazakhstan who can watch me at my live event. The next one happens to be in April in Vancouver. While I'll be in Vancouver with about 100 other people in the room, there are going to be 400 or 500 people around the world watching that workshop at the same time. Now, if that is not a miracle technology to allow folks like you and I, right, Vicky, our listeners, to do what we're doing already but exponentially increase our impact to clients who are in parts of the world who maybe could never, ever hear what we have to teach or say through the power of live streaming video.
It is really quite amazing, and you have pioneered in so many different areas and arenas, but now you're pioneering in this one, and it's so state-of-the-art and hard to believe that we have this available to us. And from what I understand, you can also make this available to others to use for their events. It's not just your events, but you can also share this with others, right?
Right. It was such a revolutionary thing that, you know, I tried to test myself. And once it's been proven, yes, we have now opened the service to anybody who would like to, through their webcam, or as simple as their webcam on their laptop, or a little bit more sophisticated setup through a video camera or what have you at your next workshop, we can definitely help you access this global market in a relatively inexpensive way. And wow, you don't have to travel to them. They don't have to travel to you. In a lot of cases, Vicky, when you use the power of live streaming technology this way, you gain access to global markets that have very little competition in them. So you're like the only person in that market doing your thing, and that is pretty darn exciting if you ask me.
That is, and it's really revolutionary and extremely exciting, and such a good point. We will certainly share how people can get more information that may be interested on this a little bit later in our conversation. But I wanted to ask you now, what are some of the, like, give us 3 speed bumps maybe that entrepreneurs run into most often, and how do they overcome those?
I think I call this, my answer to the 3 speed bumps spells the word OI. And it's OIE. Oi. I know that's not quite the Yiddish spelling of oi, as in oi day, but I think of it as, maybe it's the Canadian spelling of that word, I don't know, oi, because I'm from Canada. But those 3 letters, O-I-E, represent the 3 major speed bumps that I see stop people, whether it's on their way to 6 figures or 7 figures or 8 figures. It's usually down to these 3 things. And so O stands for overwhelm, okay, and that's partially why I get so crabby about info crap. Overwhelm is a killer. You know, you could have a perfectly great year happening for an entrepreneur, and all of a sudden they get overwhelmed and they're derailed from their first 6-figure year. And a lot of work has to go into getting them unoverwhelmed so that they can make the right choices, decide on things clearly, and take action, because overwhelm paralyzes you. So even though you hear that word a lot, I want you to really hear that I'm speaking from these deep roots of having coached thousands of people. Overwhelm is a root of a lot of unmet potential, like unearned income. Lots of people who could reach 6 and 7 figures don't because they're so overwhelmed. So a quick answer to that would be to do this exercise that I myself use, Vicky. It's just to draw a chart on a blank piece of paper with 3 columns in it. Hell yes, hell no, and maybe are the titles of the 3 columns. And when you're overwhelmed, what I want you to do is to have a sorting conversation in which you take everything that you're overwhelmed about, whether it's little things like you have to go pick up Molly from school, or, you know, you have all these things to do with your website, what have you, and put them in these categories of hell yes, hell no, maybe. And the answer is hell yes, it must be done, or I want to do it. hell no, I really don't want to do it, or no, I don't need to do it, and maybe if you're unsure. Now, the extra bonus tip on this one, because I know our listeners are smarties and advanced people, is to say that, guess what? Yes, to solve your issue of overwhelm, you focus only on the hell yeses. Now, smarties often ask me, well, what about the maybes? I'm going to give away the punchline, okay? Normally I wouldn't say this, but because, you know, I know you're a smartie, I'm going to reveal. Maybes are no's. If you don't get a hell yes and you put it in the hell no or maybe category, those are both no's. Focus only on the hell yeses. And then the two other speed bumps very, very quickly. Vicki, sorry, did I interrupt you? This is a funny little exercise, but I find it very, very useful, actually. But the two other speed bumps very quickly, in addition to overwhelm, remember it spells OI, O-I-E, overwhelm, indecision, and exhaustion. Mm. Overwhelm, indecision, and exhaustion. Now, we won't go too much into exhaustion because we talked about the golden goose, but again, a very quick exercise with regards to indecision, to help you get over indecision, is something I call the 4-H path. And the 4-H path goes like this, is when you have something in front of you where you're like, yes or no, am I going to do this thing? Am I going to go accept that great speaking gig? I'm petrified. I think it might be too soon. I'm not ready, but it's such a great opportunity. You're undecided. The 4-H path that you can travel is to say, what is my answer to this yes or no question in my head? That's the first H. Okay, do I get a green light in my head? The next place to go and look is your heart. Do I get a green light in my heart? You know, do I get a yellow light? Do I get a red light? Once I've touched base with the first H, your head, your second H, your heart, the third H is your hands. If you get a green light on this decision in your head and your heart, usually what happens is your hands know what to do.
Mm.
Okay? Your hands actually wake up and go, aha, I know what the next single step is that I need to do. And if you don't, then probably you don't have green lights in your head and your heart. So then your hands know what to do. What's the fourth H, you ask? The fourth H is this hopeful feeling that you're on the right track. You've made a decision. That's one less thing that has to weigh on you today. So the 4-H path in total is head, heart, hands, and hope.
Mm. Fabulous. So, you know, I find that what you shared is so empowering because not only have you shared these obstacles to us progressing forward, but it's very empowering to know that we have it within ourselves and with these wonderful exercises that you shared to be able to overcome them and just move on to our success and our goals.
Mm-hmm. It's
really
so
is
true. Me. So true, Vicki. So well put. Everyone has it inside them.
Yeah, yeah. And you have a beautiful way, Andrea, bringing that out. It's just lovely. So after 10 years as a pioneer in coaching and, you know, small business, is there one thing particularly now as we're entering the beginning of the 21st century and things are moving so fast and changing so radically, is there anything you consider somewhat of a saving grace, something that you really see all successful people have?
Yeah, this is a tough question. Is it kind of a question of for the ages, right? What's that secret? And my answer and my own version of it, you know, that I sort of derive from my own life, because, you know, it's funny, I've been in the industry for a long time, but it has not always been easy. You know, I came into coaching in about 2000. In, you know, 2003, we had Thomas Leonard die suddenly of a heart attack at the age of 49. He was the CEO of the company that I was the general manager of. I had to navigate that, you know, with a whole bunch of overwhelm and indecision. It was really horrifying. I remember, you know, September 11th happened, or, you know, earlier in that decade as well. There's been all sorts of things along the path that you know, I feel like have tested me so that I can even say, you know, what do you think is something that is the saving grace through tough times and great times? So I want you to know, like, I'm not saying this from a flip kind of, oh, what's a nice sounding answer kind of place. Like, this is really like when I'm in my personal most challenging of moments, what is the saving grace? And that is a simple, very unsexy word. And it's the word commitment. Okay? I think that commitment, even in your darkest moments, like if you are allow yourself to feel the struggle that you're going through, because we all know that entrepreneurship and thought leadership is not, you know, the easiest of paths, especially if we're going to do it in integrity and in alignment with ourselves. The saving grace is commitment, and the way I demonstrate this is this, that if I'm committed to my clients succeeding in their businesses as their coach, have I burned the ships? Like, have I left myself no way out but forward and my clients succeeding? Like, do I have an escape hatch where I say to myself in my head, it's like, well, if the client doesn't succeed, it's probably them. Or if that person, you know, read my book and they didn't like it, it's like, you know, it's probably they, you know, the ink on the page was blurry and they couldn't really understand it. Am I excusing myself from the things that I'm here to do? And if I'm truly committed, what I will do is leave myself no excuse. Just like that story of that Spanish explorer, Cortez, who landed on, you know, a certain shore with all of his crew who were scared to explore this unknown island, he decided to burn all the ships so that his crew would have no way to go back, no escape route, no hemming or hawing. They had to go forward. So this idea of a commitment might sound mundane when you just say that one word, but it's this idea of putting all your chips into the middle of the table and betting it all that this thing that you believe in so strongly is worth throwing everything at. That is how committed you are to making it work. That's the saving grace that I would share.
Wow. And, you know, it ties in so much to a point you made at the very beginning of our time together when you were talking about that bold, outrageous, provocative statement, because you really asked us to search within and find out where that passion lies by going to the farthest reaches of both what we may be adverse to and how we can turn that around and really have a sense of purpose in that. And I know I find for myself that if you're in that sense of purpose and that passion, then the commitment comes more easily than if you're not in that place and you're not in that activity.
That's so beautifully said. One definitely feeds the other. You're so right. But without that purpose, that commitment is hard to, you know, it's hard to bring that commitment to a boil. And yet without the commitment, that purpose tends to shrivel on the vine as well. So it's kind of a yin-yang effect.
Yeah, yeah. They really go hand in hand. And thank you so much for opening with that, because it put it in such a great context for us all to draw from. What are some of the simple ways anyone can add coaching muscle to their work? You know, I realized when I was doing corporate coaching and team coaching, I was actually doing coaching and wasn't even realizing I was doing it. It was before they even had the term coaching to describe what was happening there. But what would you say someone who maybe isn't doing coaching or isn't heavily involved in that, how could they really bring that into their work?
You know, this concept of coaching is a fascinating one. It's kind of like people don't understand what it even is. Like it we know what it is when we feel it or see it or hear it, but when we are asked to talk about it, it's challenging. So I guess the first thing that I would offer is a brief definition of what it is. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a new author or some other entrepreneur who doesn't do coaching. You can add a coaching approach and add serious income to your business. I wouldn't necessarily ask you to call yourself a coach, but if you add coaching muscle, you can definitely add new streams of innovative income, and people will pay top dollar for excellent coaching. So a working definition for you around what is coaching is simply that it's an advanced method of communication. Okay, so if we walk around every day communicating at kind of a regular status quo level, taking a coaching approach and adding some coaching seasoning to our communication bumps that communication up to a very advanced level. You can sort of hear, you know, I try to eat my own cooking and walk my talk, that there is some cool communication that is going on between Vicky and I, and hopefully between you, the listener, and us, because we're communicating or attempting to communicate, you get to be the final judge, at an advanced level. We're using concepts, metaphors, and things like that. But so that's the definition. A few ways that you can add coaching muscle to your work is to think of coaching as much more than cheerleading. Okay? One of the things that I love most in, you know, within this thing called coaching is to enter new territories. And what do I mean by enter new territories? It's like go beyond where the client might be asking you to go. So let's say you're an author who's working on fitness, and you have, you know, a fitness program that they've joined, and et cetera, et cetera. You're doing fine. But if you wanted to bump your communication up to another level, you could be listening between the lines and entering new territories in that client's life. For example, what's the reason why the person is in the fitness program? Okay, maybe they want to look good, or they want to, you know, they have that bikini that they want to fit into, all these very obvious things. But could it be that there are other unexpressed desires on the part of that client that if you will only enter into, all of a sudden advance your communication to a much more sophisticated place? Could it be that they have a fear of passing away overweight, like their one of their parents did, if you listen closely? Could it be that, you know, they're worried that their child is going to grow up overweight? They have this idea that, you know, if they set a good example, their children maybe will grow up healthier, and their children will grow up. These deeper, often unexplored territories, if you will embrace them as possibilities using a coaching approach, will give you the chance to add so much more value to your clients.
Yeah, that depth in the communication and exchange is just like, it's so magical, and I love the way you describe it. You know, I was so excited about our time together today, and we happened to be in Mexico, and we were watching old National Geographic wonderful wildlife movies last night, and something you said before to me came to mind, and that was that when people are afraid of innovating their business, there's a chimpanzee that can help them. And I was thinking about when I was watching National Geographic last night. So please share that with us.
The chimpanzee story is a fun one. You're picking all the great, great fun stories. I love it. It should be a very entertaining interview. Hopefully entertaining and also very useful. I guess the usefulness in this story is that, you know, when people talk about innovating, or when I talk about, as I, you know, tend to get on my soapbox about income through innovation. If you want to make six or seven figures, you have to find a way of innovating. And we talk about peanut butter cup, oyster grit, all these good, very pragmatic exercises. We do find that at a certain point, the conversation gets stalled because people are scared. They feel like they have to reinvent things completely and that they'll never be completely original. You know, I can hear our writers in the audience who are saying, well, my thing is kind of boring, I agree, but I'm never going to be able to write anything original. All the original ideas are taken. It's not true. The combinations is one way to get out of that problem. Fresh combinations is one of the only remaining ways to be original. So take that away for sure from today's interview. But the piece of relief that I want to give you through the story of the chimpanzee is that if you, let's say if Vicky and I were standing in front of you and you could see us, well, actually, no, I'll use myself, Vicky. You'll see why in a moment. So say I was standing in front of you and Vicky's to one side being the great interview and you're looking at me and all of a sudden a chimpanzee appears beside me. Can you look at the chimpanzee and then you look at me and you think to yourself, you know, those two things are quite different. That's a human being and that's a chimpanzee, okay? Would it surprise you to know that in the DNA, so in the biological fabric of the chimpanzee and of the human being are only 4% different? There's only 4% difference between the DNA of a human being and the chimpanzee. Now, if that's the case, do you think that innovating whatever it is, whatever income stream that you're working on that you might be stuck on so that you can, you know, get it flowing again, you could innovate just 5% or 10% and that would be very, very fresh. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. So hopefully that gives you the permission to, you know, kind of let yourself off the hook and, okay, just a tiny bit of freshness can work wonders.
And so how did you select your unique and bold messaging? You know, you really have a hallmark of your life work going. How did you come by that?
You know, the story is a long, sad one, and I won't go into weed violins. But I'll give you the nutshell version. It's like, for those of you who have noticed in, you know, Vicky's wonderful introduction of me, you may have seen a photo. I am of Taiwanese descent, and the joke is that I was almost made in Taiwan. So that means that, you know, we're Chinese, but Taiwanese people will say, no, yes, we're Chinese, but we're Taiwanese in particular. And I was born in Canada. And one of the things that happened as I grew up was this sense that, you know what, I was one Asian girl among millions of Asian girls and the same as all these other, you know, sisters and really indistinguishable from these millions of other Asians. And that even though there are sad parts to that story and, you know, lots of inner anguish, the thing that came out of it for me was that, you know what, somehow, some way, I have to be special. I must be somehow special. Otherwise, I wouldn't even exist. You know, there would be no reason for me to even be walking the planet. So how am I different from all these other, you know, other girls my age who look the same and the same, you know, cute almond-shaped eyes and all the, you know. And so I lived my life very much asking that question. And so when you ask me what my unique message in my life work is, I get so inspired by helping others, clients, people who attend our workshops, express their unique individuality, become more and more completely themselves through whatever medium it is, their book, their business, you know, their family, their income, whatever it is. And that's what I stand for. That's why I get up every morning and do what I do.
Oh, that is so lovely, really lovely. Lovely for you and lovely for everyone whose lives you touch. So if there was one underlying message that you're really trying to get out in all the wonderful and unique ways that you connect with people, what would that be? What do you strive to really get across?
You know, there are a lot of things that I you know, in my efforts to not contribute to InfoCrop, I try to be really, you might be surprised, but I try to be concise about the things I try to get across. If there's something that's a little unusual that might be of interest to share, it's that the way that I teach and the way that I coach, it doesn't matter. I am always trying to point to the fact that you are the one with the answers. There's a quote that I like a lot that I live my life by, and it's by Matsuo Basho, a poet from China. And his quote goes like this: Do not seek to follow in the footsteps of the men of old. Seek what they sought. Right? Mm. So as a teacher, even though it's tempting for me to say to you, it's like, you know what I say is right, what I say is the only way, listen, learn, do, you know, that's not what I'm asking you to learn to think for yourself. That's the most important thing that I could help give to anyone who I'm hoping to serve, and that is learn to think, learn to discern, learn to gain clarity and make decisions in a way that only you can. And then seek to live your life that way.
Hmm. Oh, once again, that is so beautiful. So you probably have so many success stories, both as well as, you know, others. But do you have a brief one that you could share with us that we could all take away with us?
Sure. You know, a fantastic story is probably, you know, it's probably does a disservice to everyone else too, but I'll use it because we want it to be short. An example of me when we put together the live streaming video company with my current coaching company. What we were able to do was really eat our own cooking, Vicki. We were able to say, we really are annoyed. I'm really annoyed that clients in faraway countries cannot come to workshops and events that, you know, I put on. That's really sad. And it's really bugging me that whenever we travel, we use so much jet fuel. That really bugs me, too. So I was able to embody the oyster grit, and then I was able to embody the bold, outrageous, provocative statement and say, you know what? Hell no, we can revolutionize the way that we get together and learn and transform our thinking and make more money. I was able to embody the golden goose because by not traveling as much myself, I was able to be more compassionate to myself. And I was able to embody the peanut butter cup because we took this technology that until that point had not been used that way within this coaching and personal development transformation industry and create what will be a many times over $1 million industry. Millions and millions of dollars are being made using this fresh combination. And it just does my heart good because I will tell you, Vicki, I would fire myself as a coach, as a business coach, as a teacher of any kind if I could not prove my own teaching and do it over and over again within recent years. It's not okay for me to teach things that worked 10 years ago and pretend that they're still working. If I can't make them work myself again recently, I have no right to teach them. So it's great that we have this new business that is succeeding so well, making lots of money, helping lots of people. But even more important, in addition to that, is that I get to look you guys in the eye, right? Look you guys in the virtual eye and say, this works. If you will listen to this interview, follow what we're saying, it definitely works. So hopefully that is a short enough story to give an additional boost or oomph.
Oh, and you know what is so great for those who have not seen you, Andrea, live, now they have the opportunity to tap in that amazing energy, which I've had the joy of being a part of, and seeing you, you know, streaming, and hopefully be able to use it also for their businesses. So it's really quite amazing on so many levels above and beyond the technology. Really incredible. So I'd love to close by asking you what truly inspires you, Andrea.
It inspires me when we become more and more ourselves and that childlike joy bubbles out. It inspires me when we ask the big questions about why we're here on the earth. It inspires me when we ask questions beyond money. Income is so important, but what else do we want to make more of in addition to money? The quote that inspires me the most comes from Buckminster Fuller, who says, how much good can I do with my one life? As if it was a science experiment. You know, how much good? And so when I'm at my best, because, you know, we all share the speed bumps and we all share the celebrations. What inspires me is when we, as a collective, are able to help each other do that, live our very, very best lives.
Ah, and you have helped so many do exactly that, that it is just, you're definitely in the right place. And I'm so glad you're there, and I'm so glad you're here with us tonight. Thank you so much for sharing this time together.
Vicki, thank you so much for your leadership, and it's so exemplary in the way that you build relationships. I've had nothing but just joy as a result of our connection, and I want to thank you for that very much as well.
Well, I want to be sure, Andrea, that everyone has the opportunity to get to know about all the exciting things you're doing, about your event coming up in April, and even if they can't attend live, they might have the opportunity to do that through web streaming video, and also the many things that you offer that you've shared tonight. If they want to just tap into some more of your wisdom, can you once again give them the link where they can go to find out more?
Sure. If you're interested in the Wealthy Thought Leader event where we talk about those themes of income, innovation, and thought leadership, the event is happening April 19th to 21st. And like I say, we're doing it in Vancouver, but we are sold out in person. So, and we love, love, love our simulcast attendees. So if you'd like to experience more of the kind of conversation you've heard here today, we're talking a lot about what's next for how to make money using technology. There's some really amazing speakers coming, Vicki. I wish it was tomorrow. It's so exciting. But the link is wealthythoughtleader.com/events, and that's events with an S on the end. And on that page, you will find registration available for simulcast seats, which are very affordable. That's the other benefit. You know, you don't have to pay thousands of dollars at all, in fact, to attend this three-day conference that is, like I say, now sold out. So I hope that you will consider whether or not you are ready to add innovation in this heart-centered way to your business, and have it add up to real money. Because that's what happens when you commit in this way, boldly in this way, is that income does start to respond. Your markets will respond like nothing before. But you have to take the first step. So wealthythoughtleader.com/events with an S on the end.
Perfect. Andrea, thank you again so much for being here. And I really look forward to the next time we're together.
Me too, Vicki. Enjoy Mexico for all of us, please.
I will do that. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye for now.